Hallelujah. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Glad to be here tonight.
Amen.
Ready for the Word of God?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together tonight. We thank you for the Word of God, the equipping of the saints, the hearing, revelation, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of you. We have the mind of Christ. The greater one is in us. Thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke, the anointing that abideth within to teach us and reveal the Word of God to us. Father, I pray that we would be doers of the Word, not hearers only. For when we purpose to practice the Word of God, then we become recipients of that which you have provided. We can receive what you have promised. Father, I pray that we would be listening, attentive, and then go further, but practice. Participate. Practice the promise and be doers of the Word. And we give you all of the praise and the glory. Any good and every good thing that is done in our midst, we thank you, Lord. We give you the praise. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray this prayer and believe these things are so in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. I want you to open your Bibles with me. Two openings. First of all, Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 18. And then Anthony will put some of these on the screen. I have several scriptures I want to bring to your attention. And in fact, before we go to Luke 11 and Luke 18, you might turn to John 15, 7. There are so many scriptures in the New Testament that teach us that we have something to do with how we receive the promises from God. So many people think, well, if God's promised it, it'll just automatically happen. If God said it, He'll just do it. But we have something to do with how we receive from God and whether or not the promises of God are real in our lives. It's really more up to us than many people seem to think. In fact, I'll go to John 15, 7, since he has that up there. But if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, then whatever you ask, whatever you will, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. People are saying, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, if you abide in Him and His words abide in you, then you have His will because you have His word. That is the will of God. And if His will is abiding in you, then you're going to want to synchronize your life with Him to please Him. But notice this verse puts it up to you. Whatever you ask, whatever you will, if you ask what you will, it shall be done. So many people are saying, well, I don't know if that's the will of God. Well, is it your will? And then if you don't know what the will of God is, then get in the Word. That is His will. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says from the last part, from the day, well, all of the verse actually, Anthony, you can put that up. Matthew 11, 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So it's up to you whether you're going to receive it, whether you're going to take it, whether you're going to stand your ground, because there is an enemy here. Well, if it's God's will, it'll automatically happen. If God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. If God wants me to do it, I'll do it. If God wants it to be in my life, it'll be in my life. Well, if God wants you to pay your tithes, why don't you? Some people don't because they choose not to, even though God wants them to. If God wants you to stop sinning, why don't you? Or obeying the flesh and the desires of the flesh. God will let you do what you want to do, whether it's His will or not. He'll let you do it. And a lot of things He just doesn't get involved with. He doesn't stop because He's given it to us. The Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not His will that any perish. It's His will that everybody comes to repentance. But let me ask you a question. Do some perish? Does everybody come to repentance? So God doesn't always get His will. It's not always God's will. What happens on this earth isn't always God's will. Now, ultimately, He is going to have His will done. He is waiting for the fruitfulness of the whole earth. And the Bible says He has long patience waiting for it. He's His eyes, Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified says, his eyes, Jeremiah 1:12, hastens the word, that's the King James, he hastens his word to perform it. Amplified Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. He's looking for somebody. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth. He's looking for somebody to show himself strong through. Not everybody qualifies. But the person who desires God, the person who's hungry and thirsty for God, God will fulfill that hunger, that thirst, and he will satisfy that hungry soul and that thirsting soul. But he's looking for someone who's hungry and thirsty. If you seek me with your whole heart, God says, you will find me. Some people aren't wholehearted in their seeking. They've got some other things pulling them that they'd really rather do than sow to the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap of the Spirit life. If you sow to the flesh, that's no good. And then some people are only half-hearted in their approach to God. They're half-hearted. They desire God, but not really enough to get on in there. But God says that if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, looking for someone. And he watches over his word to perform it. He's watching. He's running. He's looking. And if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done. And the violent take it. By force, there is an enemy. Nowhere in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to pray to God about the devil. A lot of people are praying to God about the devil. Oh, the devil's after me. God, help me. Do something. And yet, now a baby Christian, a young Christian, young in the Lord, who doesn't know, hasn't been taught, God will wink at ignorance. He'll overlook some things and bless. You carry babies. They can't care for themselves, so you care for them. But there is a time where God says, put that big kid down and let him walk on his own two feet. You don't need to carry that one anymore. Get in the Word of God. Feed your spirit and learn the Word and the will of God. Then you come to the place where God says, I want you to walk by faith. I want you, because it's impossible to please God without faith. And God says, I want you to please me. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is, know my word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And then walk in the light of what you've learned and be a doer of the word. And in the Bible, it tells you to do something about the devil. So once you read that, then you say, I don't need to pray to God about the devil anymore, because I've read in the Bible that it tells me to cast the devil out. It tells me to resist the devil. It tells me to neither give place to the devil. It tells me that I have authority. He's under me at my feet because I'm in the body of Christ and I've been raised up together with Him in the heavenly places, and all things are under the feet, and the feet are in the body. Jesus is the head. I'm in the body and everything else is under His feet. If they're under His feet, that means they're under His body. And I'm in the body, that means they're under me. And I'm over them. And the Bible tells you to do something about the devil. If you don't, nothing gets done. And if nothing gets done, the devil gets to do what he wants to do. If we, the church, if we don't do something about the devil gets to do what he wants to do. Because God says, my church has authority over the devil. Don't pray to me about the devil. I've given you the power. In Jesus' name. By His precious blood and through the power of His Word. We all give the power and the glory to Jesus. The glory goes to God, but we have been equipped. Amen. And so we walk in the light of that and we realize Scripture after Scripture after Scripture tells us that we have something to do with how we receive from God. Turn to Mark chapter 9. I want to get to Luke 11, Luke 18. The two first verses that I gave you are references. I didn't give you the verse yet, but the chapters. I want to get there. I don't understand really people who are reading the Bible, even preachers, even pastors, reading the Bible and then still come away with this mentality that it's all up to God. And you just never know what God's going to do. And we just are hoping and praying. I hope to God, God sees fit to do something. And yet God has given us his word, and he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. What are you asking? What do you will? The kingdom of heaven suffers violence. The violent take it by force. That, you're not violent toward God. You're violent and aggressive. I'm just not going to take it anymore from the devil. I've got power and authority in Jesus' name over the devil. Devil, you stop what you're doing. I'll not allow it. I have authority in Jesus' name. Jesus said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. He didn't say, just ask me to move the devil out of the way for you. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. You're praying for me to bind it, and I told you to bind it. Use my name. Do it according to my word. But I told you to do it. After all, you're in the body of Christ. We're members in particular. Are you saved? Have you been born again? Well, if you've been born again, then you have been placed in him. And he has been placed in you. The great mystery. How can something be in you and you be in it? How can you have a bucket in a bucket the same time it's in the other bucket? I mean, you're in him and he's in you. It's a great mystery. You can't really explain that. The two are just merged together and meshed together. Spirits just merged and meshed together. He's in you, you're in him. Some people argue about the Trinity. I don't have a problem with it. Jesus in John chapter 17, I pray that they may be one, even as we are one. You and me, I and you, that they may be one in us. Well, if I'm in you, he said that they may be one in us. If I'm in him, how many believe I am? I testify Jesus is Lord. The Bible says I am in him. I'm in him. Are you following me? Is he in you? Is he? Say it out loud. Jesus is in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. So the Spirit of Christ is in you. Well, I'm in him. Well, if I'm in him and he's in you, then guess what? I'm in you. Because I'm in him and he's in you. If you put some change in a change purse and put the change purse into the big purse or into your pocket, then that change is in your pocket. It's in the purse and the purse is in your pocket, the little change purse, the little coin purse. If you put some coins in a coin purse and the coin purse in your pocket, then the coins are in your pocket. If I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in you, then I'm in you. Am I in you? How many of you are in Jesus? Are you in him? Well, he's in me. Well, if you're in him and he's in me, then guess what? You're in me. Well, I don't have a problem with the Trinity once I realize that. You can't really explain that. Spiritual things sometimes aren't understood by the just natural thinking of the head. Your head just can't quite grasp some things. They're spiritually understood. Well, if I'm in you and you're in me because I'm in him and he's in you, you're in him and he's in me, and I'm standing over here and you're sitting over there, how can we be one if I'm over here and you're over there? How can the Trinity be one if God's in heaven and Jesus is on the earth, but yet they're one? And then Jesus says, he said, I'm going to leave this earth, and then the Holy Ghost is going to come. But we're all three one. And I pray that they may be one, even as we are one. I don't have a problem with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the three in one, any more than I have a problem that you and I are one. And if we're one, I ought not criticize you and talk about you and put you down, because I'm affecting me when I do that, because you're in me. Somebody say amen. Amen. We ought to pull together and walk together and work together because we are together and get this thing done. I mean, the two hands aren't fighting if they're getting the thing done. My left hand is not jealous of my right hand. I'm right-handed. I do a lot of things with my right hand. I walk down the hall and I open my bedroom door. I come home and I take the keys and put them in the door. And I do most of that with my right hand. My left hand never once has my left hand slapped my right hand and said, it's my turn, I want to do that. You always do that. I get tired of you doing that. I want to do that. The left hand has never slapped the right hand, and I'm just standing there watching them fight. Give me those keys. It's my turn to unlock this door. It's my turn to grab the handle. Let go of that handle, that doorknob. We ought not be fighting in the church about who's going to get to do this and who's going to get to do that, because we're one. We're hooked in together. We are in the body of Christ. Now, I brought you to that understanding to realize if we are in the body of Christ, then if anything is under the feet, they're under the body. And it's under us. It's under you. It's under me. Because you're in that body. And also, bring you to this understanding, the head doesn't have any more rights than the body does. Jesus is the head. You are the body. We are the body. Jesus is the head of the body. But the head doesn't have any more authority than the body does. Amen. What power and authority that the head has, the body has it too. Based upon the head's presence, cut off the head and the body's not doing anything. But as long as that head and body are hooked together, then any authority that head has, the body has it too, because they're hooked together. And if Jesus is the head of the church, has authority, and he does, he stripped the devil of his power and his glory. He stripped the devil. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He said, I've got the keys of hell, death, hell, and the grave. He's got the keys. And then he turned around and he said to the church, now I give you power. All power has been given unto me. And then he turned to the church and he said, I give you power. Amen. He has the authority. He took it from the devil. He took from him the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And then he turned around. He said, all power is given unto me. But then he gave it to the church. Once you realize that, then you realize I can say to the devil, no, you don't, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in Matthew chapter 4, he said, it is written. He quoted Scripture. When you're tempted of the devil, it'd be all right if you followed that example. When the devil came against Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, then prove it, do something. Tried to get him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Tried to get him to bow down and worship the devil. Jesus quoted the Bible. Jesus didn't simply say, no, I am the Son of God and you go from me. But he quoted Scripture. That's our example. If Jesus had to quote Scripture to the devil, what about you? I mean, this is Jesus who never sinned, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And yet he quoted Scripture to the devil to get the devil to leave him. Well, if Jesus did that, what about you? Well, I don't know much Bible, then get busy learning. Because that is your sword. That is your weapon. And one reason we don't have any more victory in our homes, in our lives, in our businesses, in our finances, in our healing and health, one reason we don't have any more victory is because we're not really quoting Scripture based upon that presence of God in our hearts and our walk and fellowship with Him. Amen. Quote Scripture to the devil and make sure your life is lining up with God. Amen. The Bible says if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Flee means he's running away from you. Some people put a whole lot more emphasis on the power of the devil. I just do not. Because he's been stripped of his power. Why talk about the devil like he's something that I'm afraid of? Well, I'm serving God, so I guess the devil's going to attack me. Big deal, who cares? I mean, I have power and authority over him if I'd walk in the light of the Word of God and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. The shield of faith quenches all the fiery darts, not just some of them. Well, you know, if you're serving God, the devil's going to attack you. Well, big deal. I'm going to serve God. When the devil attacks me, he's going to flee. Because I'm going to resist him in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, as I submit to God and resist the devil flees. He runs away. Well, I don't think he just turns and walks away. That's not fleeing. To flee the scene, somebody usually is running. And the reason they're running is because they want to get away pretty quickly because they feel like they're in trouble. They don't like being in that atmosphere. They just don't appreciate it. They don't enjoy it. They don't like it. Maybe they're even afraid of the consequences of remaining there. To flee doesn't mean to casually walk away. Flee means they're fleeing the scene. They're running away. Because they're seeing what's happening and they don't want to be there. And that's what the devil does. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Well, what if you don't resist him? Then he doesn't flee. Who is the one that does the resisting? You do. You don't pray to God and God, get the devil off me. Now, again, a baby Christian can do some of these things and it worked because they don't know any better. But once we've been taught or should have been taught, once we've heard or should have heard, God expects us to walk in more light.
Amen.
What do I do then? You say to the devil, in Jesus' name, you go from me. And then find some scripture that covers what you're desiring, what you're believing God for. Find some scripture. The Bible says, Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Now you go from me. Sickness, I command you to go.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. The Bible says, He supplies all my need according to His riches and glory. Lack, you go from me. Depression, you go. The Bible says He keeps me in perfect peace as my mind is stayed on Him. Now, depression, you go from me. I resist you in Jesus' name. I resist you. You'd have to talk to the devil. If you don't do it, it won't get done. I don't understand preachers and pastors and ministers and Christians just putting everything off on God. Well, if it's God's will, it'll happen. When scripture after scripture and verse after verse tells us that we do something. Mark chapter 9. I had you come to Mark chapter 9. They brought a devil-possessed boy to Jesus. And before Jesus was there, nine of His disciples were already there. They could not get this evil spirit out because of some things in their lives. They asked about it and Jesus taught them later. But here's something that's very important for this lesson tonight. They brought him to Jesus. In verse 20, they brought this child possessed with the devil to Jesus. So the devil is involved. They brought him, that is the child, unto Jesus, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit, the evil spirit in this child, tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. It might have been similar to an epileptic seizure, or what medical science might call a seizure, epilepsy or some other kind, wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. So this is a young man, a young boy, but and the devil's been there a while. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but if, now here's the thing, if the man is saying to Jesus, if, everybody say if. That's an important word right there. The man, the father of this child, the father of this boy is saying to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if, what's that word? If. This is a very important word. The man said if, and now Jesus is also saying if. Jesus said unto him, and what's the next word? If. And after that is thou. But that word if is very important here. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I want you to understand that the man is saying to Jesus, if you can do it. And Jesus is saying to the man, if you can believe. The man said to Jesus, if you. And Jesus said to the man, if you. The man is saying to Jesus, it's up to you. If you want it done, do it. If you can do it, your disciples couldn't, the nine. And maybe you can't. So if you want to do it, do it. If it's your will, do it. If you can do it, if you will do it, it's all up to you. I'm just turned it over to God. Some people say they are turning things over to God. Well, we are to cast our care on Him. We are to turn our care over on God. Cast your care, but not your responsibility.
Amen.
Can I say that again? Amen. Cast your care. The Bible tells us to cast our care upon Him who careth for us. Cast your care, but don't cast your responsibility. What you are supposed to do, do not expect God to do it. And this man is expecting God to do it. Jesus, if you can do it, then do it. I picture a basketball with the word if, the two letters, I-F, in big, bold letters on that basketball. If, and I picture this man passing the basketball to Jesus, maybe a bounce pass, one bounce, and then up to Jesus. If you can do it, I'm turning it over to the Lord. You know, you hear Christians say that, just this religious thinking. It sounds spiritual. It sounds religious. It sounds right. Well, you better be careful because it may not be right. Well, I'm turning it over to the Lord. Well, what is it that you're turning over to the Lord? Your care, your worry, your anxiety, or your responsibility? Because you're not supposed to turn your responsibility over on God. There's some things that you're supposed to be doing. And so this man is passing this basketball to Jesus. What's on the basketball? If you can do it, do it. I'm giving it to you. It's all up to you. If you want it done, it's up to you. If you don't want it done, it's up to you. I'll just blame it on you if he dies. I'll praise you if he lives. I'll give you the praise if he's healed. I'll blame it on you if he's not. Because I've turned it over to you. If he's not healed, then I'll tell everybody it wasn't God's will. God doesn't heal everybody. So I'm turning it all over to you, Jesus. It's all up to you. I've given it to you. And Christians do that. Pastors teach them to do that. Pastor Gary in this church doesn't teach this. Pastor Gary teaches that we have authority over the devil. We're to grow in God and walk by faith. But other pastors, other ministers teach this. I don't understand why they do, and I don't understand why we sit here and just swallow it like little baby birds with our mouths wide open and we'll take whatever you push down our throats. You never know what God's going to do. Get into His Word and you'll know. The ways of the Lord are mysterious. His wonders to perform. How's that go? The ways of the Lord. Get into His Word. There is a mysterious side to God. There is. That's true. But get into His Word and you'll know some things. But this man passed this basketball, the basketball of responsibility, over onto Jesus. Here, it's yours. But Jesus didn't take it. He didn't even catch it. It's called a bounce pass, but a touch pass. He just touched it. A touch pass. Just touched it. Didn't receive it. Didn't take hold. Just touched it and pushed it right back to it. The same basketball, the same if. Jesus said, right back at you. If. Here's coming right back to you. That word, if. Coming right back at you. Here you're pushing this basketball on me that says, if. I'm putting it right back on you. If you can believe. All things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus essentially said, don't give it to me. I'll do it. You can't do it. You're not able to cast the devil in that day before his resurrection. We have power and authority now that this father didn't have. But you need me to do it. And I will mention the 9 disciples couldn't do it, but Jesus still wanted it done. The best God had on the earth couldn't get it done, but God still wanted it done. And so Jesus didn't take it, but he pushed it right back to the man. If you can believe, it's up to you. Don't give it to me. It's up to you. It's your responsibility. And if it doesn't get done, it's because you didn't believe. Do you believe? More than one time he talked about believing. Do you believe that I'm able to do this? Do you believe these things? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus took charge because the man said, I believe. His mind was giving him a fit. He was struggling it, but in his heart, I believe. And Jesus gave him the answer because he took that responsibility. It's up to me, and I believe. All through the Bible, we have scripture after scripture that tells us it's up to us. You bind on earth, it's bound in heaven. You loose on earth, it's loosed in heaven. If you'll abide in Him and His words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. The violent take it by force. You cast out devils. You resist the devil steadfast in the faith. You neither give him place. All things are possible to him that believeth. It's up to you. Turn to Luke chapter 11 now. And we'll look at these scriptures. Are you getting anything out of this so far? Well, what do I do, Brother Tony? Get into the Word? If you haven't had the opportunity to learn the Word, then come to this church as often as you can. Feed, read, listen. Have somebody to pray with you until you're at the place where you're receiving on your own faith. Once you grow, then you don't need to run to the pastor as often. You'll let people start running to you. It's good to have a prayer partner. Jesus said, if two on earth agree. If two on earth agree, it's good to have a prayer partner. When you're growing in God, young in God, you need somebody to carry you. You need somebody to help you. You can call the pastor. You can get somebody else. But as you grow in God, then you don't need to do that so much anymore because now people are doing you. And you become their prayer partner. Somebody say amen. God wants you to grow. Well, what do I do, Brother Tony? Get into the Word of God. Find specific scriptures. You need healing, find scripture that promises you healing. You need finances, find scripture that promises you finances. Quote them to the devil. And then stand your ground. Satan, I resist you. I command you to go from me in Jesus' name. You can just do that. In the name of Jesus, devil, you go from me. I resist you in Jesus' name. I resist this in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 11. Jesus is talking about prayer when he says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. Now this is a friend. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, now he's talking about prayer and your interaction with God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. How many? Everyone. Does that include you?
Yes.
Turn and tell your neighbor, he's talking to you right now. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh, that's everyone, findeth. And to him, that's everyone, that knocketh, it shall be opened. Notice the scripture we've already read, though. He's talking about prayer and your interaction with God, your approach to God. Verse 9, it's clear he's talking about prayer and seeking something you desire. Ask and it shall be given. He's talking about prayer and your approach to God. So this leading up to it, this parable is talking about God and your approach to God. Which of you shall have a friend? And you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is coming to me and I have nothing to set before him. What time is it? Midnight. In that day, it was not uncommon for people to travel at night, especially in hot weather. It would be cooler at night. They would travel at night. And so around midnight, they might be approaching the end of their journey and they're coming to somebody's home. They didn't have motels just on every corner. So they would find friends where they could spend the night and sleep. So here a knock on the door. What time is it?
Midnight,
a knock on the door. We're traveling in our journey. We're looking for somewhere to spend the night. Well, come on in. But they would want to be gracious and they would want to be good hosts and hostesses and serve refreshments, but I don't have anything to serve my friend. So he's going next door or across the street to a friend, knocking on their door at midnight. I've had some visitors, some travelers, and I don't have anything to set before them. I don't have any refreshments. Lend me 3 loaves. And I don't know, when I read this, I picture maybe a second story shutters opening. A man peering down into the street because somebody is on the front door at the street knocking on the door. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come, and I have nothing to set before him. Lend me 3 loaves. And I picture the shutters opening and the man peering down in the street. Maybe a bed cap is dangling down, looking down in the street. Friend, he looks up to the second story window where the shutters have sprung open. Friend, what is he? He's a friend. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come and I have nothing to set before them. Jesus is the one talking here. This is Jesus' idea. He's wanting to get across how prayer works and how you should be involved in receiving from God. Well, is it God's will? Yes, it's God's will, but here's how you approach Him to receive His will. Well, I'm just waiting on God to do it. Well, here's Jesus talking about how to get God to do it. So this is Jesus' idea to tell this story to teach us prayer. Do you think Jesus knows anything about prayer? Well, I asked God one time and I'm just waiting. Well, I've asked God to do it and I'm just waiting. If it's God's will, you know, it'll happen. You hear people say that, but you don't hear Jesus saying that. This is Jesus here talking about how prayer works. How receiving from God works. Our approach to God to get what we want because we see in His Word that it is His will. Friend, lend me 3 loaves. What was the answer? No. We're in bed. We've already locked all the doors. The lights are out. The bolts. We've already set the alarm. We're in bed. The children are in bed. I can't get up. He's speaking down. I can't get up right now. Maybe in hushed tones because we don't want to wake up the whole neighborhood. We're in bed. I can't get up. Well, Jesus apparently is indicating that the man doesn't leave. I somehow picture the shutter slamming closed. And the man upstairs maybe is going back to bed. The wife might have mumbled, who was that? Well, Johnny across the street. You know how he is. But Jesus is indicating that he doesn't leave. He just knocks. In fact, the Amplified Bible, there when it says knock, it's knock and keep knocking. When it says ask, it's ask and keep asking. Not repetition. Not repetition prayers, but asking and standing your ground. You can ask one time and stand your ground. I've asked you, Father, and I believe that it's so, and I'm not going to put up with anything less. It's your will, it's your word, and I will receive it. I thank you for it. I asked you for it. You can sow one seed, but then you can water it and tend to it and continue to work with it until that comes to fruition. And so that's what he's talking about. Ask and keep asking means ask and keep standing your ground. Seek and keep seeking, that means seek and keep standing your ground. Knock and keep knocking means knock and keep standing your ground. So this man is there and he doesn't go away. The shutters slam closed and he goes back to bed, but downstairs the man knocks. I don't know how many times those shutters sprang open. And he says, I can't come right now. The doors are closed. The house is locked up. The children are in bed. It's all closed up for the night. I can't get up right now. Come back in the morning. And maybe a second time the shutters... Jesus is telling this story. Why is he telling this story? To teach us our approach to God. But so many people... Well, I asked God and it didn't happen. It must not have been His will. Jesus knows about asking God. He knows about the will of God. And here he gives a story teaching us about God that a man knocked and he didn't get it. The shutter slammed closed with the answer, no, I cannot rise and give you anything. He speaks down to him in the street. That's the answer. What's the first answer? No. Jesus is the one telling this story. This isn't me talking. This is Jesus talking. I'm just expressing His story. This is our approach to God. And yet people say, well, I asked God. He didn't do it. It must not be His will. Well, how did you ask? How was your approach? Was your approach the way Jesus taught your approach to be? Have you been taught how to approach God? Jesus said, "He from within shall say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he's his friend." He won't get up because he's his friend. He won't get up because he's his friend. Jesus is my friend. God loves you. People, well, God loves me. He's going to bless me. That's not the reason he blesses you. It is a part of his love. His mercies are new every morning. But I'll tell you, he will pass over a million people to get to one person calling out in faith. God will pass over a million people. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth looking for someone to show himself strong through. He loves everyone he's passing over. He loves them all, but he is moved by faith. A heart that desires him. Sure, he loves everybody, but how many love him? He loves everybody, but how many love him? If you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll serve me. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. It's not selfish. I want you to get interested in other people if you love me. And then it's impossible to please him without faith. He'll pass over a million people to get to one person calling out in faith. So he doesn't rise because he's a friend. Does everybody see that? God doesn't just bless you because he loves you, because he's your friend. But why does he bless you? Why does he provide for you? Why does he bless you? Here it says because of his importunity. What does importunity mean? Boldness. I looked it up one time. I think one translation or one definition said shameless boldness. Boldness without shame. Boldness without embarrassment. Boldness, I don't care who's watching. Boldness, I don't care what they think. Boldness, I don't care what they're going to say. Boldness, I don't care who's talking. Boldness without shame. Importunity. Importunity means boldness. Everybody say boldness. Turn and tell your neighbor, I think he's talking to me right now. So God wants you to be bold. God wants you to be bold. Amen. From the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. God wants you to be bold. Not necessarily with him as much as with the devil. But yes, in your prayer, I am standing my ground. It is your will. God is not the one holding back, but the devil will try to hinder the will of God in your life. And it's up to you. Remember the Old Testament prophet? Daniel prayed. He fasted and prayed 21 days. And when the angel showed up, the angel said, the answer was sent the first day that you prayed. But lo, these 21 days, the prince of Persia withstood me, and Michael, the archangel, came and fought and helped me. The prince of Persia, or an evil spirit, withstood me, lo, these 21 days. But the prayer was sent from the first day, or the answer was sent from the first day that you prayed. The answer was sent the very first day you prayed. But it took 21 days to get it here. And in Daniel chapter 10, this is Daniel 10, you can look it up later. The angel said to Daniel, I am here because of your words. What if he had given up the 20th day? Wouldn't have happened. Daniel fasted and prayed 21 days. He prayed for an answer. The answer was sent the first day. 21 days later, the angel shows up and says, I was delayed in coming here. I was hindered in coming here. But I am here because of your words. Because of what you said. Because of what you did. Throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we find that it's more, really, in many areas, more up to us than God, whether we receive his will. He's promised it. He's given us his word. Now he wants us to have importunity. What does that mean? Boldness. Shameless boldness. So the man is knocking. Now, what do you imagine happened? The shutters flew open. He probably is thinking this way now. Johnny, will you stop that? Will you be quiet? You're going to wake up the whole neighborhood. Porch lights are going on across the street. Dogs are barking. Somebody's called the law. You hear the sirens in the distance. I better get him off of my front porch before he wakes up the whole neighborhood and gets me into trouble. Johnny, I'll be down in a moment. Will you stop that knocking? I'll be there. I'll be there, okay? I'll be there. Stop it. Myrtle, go back to sleep. It's none of your business. He shouts across the street. Nosy neighbor. What's going on? So he goes downstairs, tells his wife, I've got to get up. Johnny's going to wake up the whole neighborhood. If I don't do something. If I don't do something, he's going to wake up the whole neighborhood. If I don't do something, he's going to wake up the whole neighborhood. Tells his wife, I've got to get up. I'll do it. I'll give him the 3 loaves. I'll give him 5 loaves. So he gets what he needs. Jesus is telling this story to talk about prayer. Our approach to God. Though he will not rise because he's a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as much as he needs. And Jesus says, that's the way I want you to do God. Jesus said, that's the way I want you to do God. I want you to ask and stand your ground. I want you to seek and stand your ground. I want you to knock and stand your ground. For everyone who does, receives. And God wants you to receive. God wants you to receive more than you actually... I believe He wants you to receive more than you do. We looked at John 15:7 earlier. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will and it shall be done. The next verse says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. When you ask and you receive, God is glorified because that's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. Your prayer life works. Your prayer life produced. God wants us to walk in this earth with dominion and authority as the children of light, His body, His people, that we pray and things happen and people see that we pray and it makes a difference. Those people must have something because they pray and it happens. It's supernatural. It's spectacular. Those people have something. They pray and things change. Amen. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Rise up. Walk in the light. Rise up. Let's spread our wings and take flight. Rise up and be who God has called you to be. Rise up, saith God, and show the world that I am in you and you are in me. God wants us to rise up. Raise your hand and say, God, I will rise up in Jesus' name. Oh, let's show the world the light of God. Let's show the world that our prayers are effective. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Walking in the Word. Walking in the light. Running from evil. Shunning the night. Full of His glory, His power, and might. I hear the Spirit of God on the inside of me bringing this up. Let's walk in Him. Let's reveal His will, His way, His Word with some shameless boldness. Not taking no for an answer. Amen? Because it is His will. Not taking no for an answer, Father. It's Your Word. It's Your Word. It's Your Word. And I praise You for it. I just praise You for it. I thank You for it. I thank You for it. Satan, I have resisted You. You have to go in Jesus' name. You cannot stay. Father, I thank You. I have prayed. I have asked You. I have quoted Your Word. Your Word is true, and I just praise You for it. I thank You for it. I'm not stopping. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. It is Your Word. It is Your promise, and I praise You for it. I praise You for it. It shall be. It shall be. It shall be. Even as was spoken unto me, it shall be. Amen. Glory to God. I just quoted part of Acts chapter 26. I want you to turn there. Anthony can put this up. But here's what the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 27, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You can say that to yourself. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You can tell that to the devil. Devil, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I have the word of God. I have the promise of God. I've prayed. He has heard my prayer. And I believe it shall be even as it was told me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Walk in the word. Don't listen to every sound. Stand your ground. God's word is true. And what he said, he will do. I hear that just floating up from my spirit. God is able to bring his word to pass. He's faithful who promised. He watches over. He hastens his word to perform it. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I don't need to get to Luke chapter 18, but it's a similar story about prayer and boldness and importunity and standing your ground, but we don't need to go there. This has fed our spirits, has it? Has it? This has fed our spirits, has it? In Jesus' name. Well, it's up to me how I believe. It's up to me how I receive. Oh, I give God the praise, but he's provided his word. And I have opened my ears, and that's what I've heard. So it's up to me if I choose whether I gain or whether I lose. What am I going to do? That's up to me. But he is faithful, and he will provide. And what he promised, that's how it will be. It's up to me. It's up to me. I give him all of the praise, but it's up to me. Through Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Amen. 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 How many got anything out of this tonight? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 Pastor, I want you to come. I want to go to the piano, and I want us to sing and stand and consecrate our hearts and dedicate our hearts. I'm going to play and sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And maybe some of you, would you stand? Maybe some of you want to come to the altar and pray and be prayed for, that we can put into you boldness. Now, that's more up to you than it is to us, but we can agree with you and pray for you and impart in Jesus' name. But let's make the consecrated decision and dedication tonight. I've decided to follow Jesus.